This morning we're going to continue a journey that we began last week, and that journey is going to focus on one specific passage from Scripture for the next several weeks. So I hope, I pray that you're going to be working at committing maybe this to memory and a chance to again just reflect in your own life about this passage and exactly what it does indeed say. Comes to us from the book of Galatians. And again, hopefully a familiar passage to many, and one that's, again, I've said it before, put to song, and again, an opportunity just to hear it yet again. The passage is entitled Life by the Spirit. And again, it contrasts what it means to live in the Spirit or the Spirit of God versus what it means to live according to the flesh of the world. One of the things that I had a few of you come up and ask me about last week was when I said, hey, if you use the word debauchery, I'll give you $1 for every time you use that word debauchery in the week. Now, I had a couple of young people come up to me and ask me what debauchery meant, and I said I was going to follow up with them, and they need to give me a definition, and maybe I'll give them $1. But I also heard another story, and that was of someone who was trying to figure out how to use debauchery in about every sentence this week so that they could raise money for their impending wedding, Stephen. All right? That is debauchery, all right? So again, it's this whole idea of how are we going to live our lives according to the Spirit of God, or according to the flesh. And part of that is, again, that idea of fruit of the Spirit. And again, not fruits. Not fruits like when we go to the grocery store and say, today I want an apple or I want an orange, and we can pick or choose. But fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Again, the whole idea that it is a package deal. When it comes to what God is saying and what the Apostle Paul is saying and what the Spirit puts within us. Where again it says in Galatians 5, beginning at verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have been crucified, the flesh with its passions, its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking envy in each other. We have been set free in order to choose life by the flesh or life by the Spirit. There is no law here. Christ came and crucified again, to set us free from the law, but we are called to be people of the Spirit and people of the fruit of the Spirit. That's what it's about. We discovered last week that, again, this is something where we can understand that it is our character, our core. That when we have the Spirit, we can produce that fruit, and that fruit affects our behaviors. We understand that we look at people and we look at their character based on their behavior. And so what do people see in us? When it comes to our rootedness, do they see a root that runs deep in the Word of God, a root that runs deep in the commandments of God, a root that runs deep into the very character of God? Because again, God's character is reflected in the fruit of the Spirit. And we're looking at this whole concept that this Spirit dwelling within us produces this fruit and in turn shapes our behavior and our life on this earth. I read a bumper sticker this week that I thought was applicable to this whole idea of character, and again, that Spirit dwelling within us affecting our behaviors and who we are. And I don't know if it's a perfect illustration, but it really made me think, and that was this. The bumper sticker that many of you are familiar with or have heard of is this. If you love Jesus, honk. If you love Jesus, honk. Well, there's now a new addition to that. And that addition is this. Tithe if you love Jesus. Anybody can honk. Tithe if you love Jesus. Anybody can honk. Now, however you want to put that, it just speaks to the idea of character. That again, whether you want to say tithe if you love Jesus, anybody can honk, or serve if you love Jesus, anybody can honk, or love if you... But the truth of the matter is, if we love Jesus, then we should be letting our behaviors, our actions, be changed by the Spirit of God to reflect more fully a relationship with God. And thus this idea of being led and living a Spirit-filled life. So this morning, we look at two very confusing topics in our world today. We begin this journey of fruit of the Spirit with two simple words, love and joy. Love and joy. They're confusing because in our society today, when you say love, I'll say to you, what is love? What is love? In my mind, it's an often overused, misunderstood word and concept. What is love? It's confusing in our society today. And then there's joy, where we really don't use the word joy. We use the word happiness or happy. And again, we can become very easily confused because joy is something very different than happiness. Happiness having its roots in a word called happenstance, which has to do with your circumstance. So happiness comes or goes. But joy is something that is deeply rooted in the presence of the Spirit of God within us. So these two ideas are confusing in our world, and we need to unpack them to understand what should it look like. So let's look at love. What's love got to do with it? Well, it's got a lot to do with our existence here on earth, and it's got a lot to do with people who are being filled by the Spirit of God. The problem is that we can thank our roots, our earthly roots. If you want to go all the way back to the British and the English language, for taking many words that looked at this whole idea of love and helped define the range of what love really is and cram them all into just one silly four-letter word saying love. Instead of sticking with the richness of the original languages and the original concepts, again, we crammed it all into one little word. And so we're left with this. I love my wife. I love my dog. Same word. She would say, I love my dog more, all right?
Who has more pictures?
Yeah, I know. It's because, I don't know why, I'm not going to touch that. Anyway, I love my kids. I also love anchovies on my pizza. Same word. I love the Cubs. And you love the Tigers. Confusion with this whole idea of love. Again, the author of this book did a wonderful job by discussing it. He said this, love is a warm puppy, I read one day on an ornamental plaque. Love is never having to say you're sorry, I heard from a movie. Love is a sickness full of woes, I learned from high school in classic English. Love is like the measles. Everybody catches it sometimes. I was advised by a cynical friend. And to my astonishment, I learned one day, love makes the world go round. So many different concepts of this whole one word, love, love, love. And yet, Where does the fruit of the Spirit begin? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's how important this piece of the puzzle is. It's number one. And we need to understand, again, the roots of this are in this diverse language in which we understand eros, the first idea of love. Eros, where we get a word in our world today, erotica. And the whole idea of eros love is one that is physical and one that is sexual. But again, in the original languages, it didn't stop there. And there was another constant, phileo, all right, where we get the word philanthropy, or where the city's name Philadelphia comes from, where it talks about companionship and friendship. Two words where it talks about love and yet very different love. And those two types of love are both conditional. Again, eros, physical love, is something that comes and goes. It's something that ebbs and flows within our lives. It's something that can be destructive and good altogether, but it's conditional. And the same way with phileo, all right? The idea that it has to do with that companionship or friendship. And yet, as all of us know, those things ebb and flow and come and go, and relationships are gained and relationships are broken. But then there's that other word. And that other word is agape. Agape love. And that's what we're talking about here. It's the key to this idea of living in the Spirit and living in love through agape love, which is God's love for us. The rootedness of this love, of the fruit of the Spirit, is in God's love for us and the love that God wants us to share with one another. It is altruistic. It is idealistic, all right? It is a complete commitment, a complete sellout to the well-being of other human beings. That's what agape is all about. It is indeed an example of God saying, "For I so loved the world that I gave you my one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. I sent him not to condemn the world but to save the world." Agape love that we are called to have and to share if the Spirit lives within us. I know I've shared this with some of you, and I love it because it just speaks to the world we live in today. When families are so quickly separated and families live from coast to coast and around the world, someone once asked, "How do you define family?" And so often we define family by biology. And yet they said, "Family is someone who has an irrational concern for your well-being." That's family. Somebody who has an irrational concern for your well-being. That's also agape love, where we can look around the world in which we live and look around our homes and look around our schools and our businesses and say, "I want to love people because God has loved me so much." Not eros, not phileo, where it's conditional, where it comes and goes, but where it is agape love in which it is rooted. It is rooted in the fact that God is love. Biblical basis. We talked about that last week. It is rooted in the command that we are called to love God and love our neighbor. Where are we at in that journey? Because the other thing we talked about last week was when we look at this passage, there is a conflict. And that conflict is between the flesh, the eros, the phileo, the conditional love, and the Spirit, which is agape, which is God's love, which is that rooted foundation of saying, my concern is your well-being. And that's what shapes my actions. And that's what motivates my life. How are we doing in that choice of love? The first part of this fruit, love. Are we loving in that agape way? Are we loving in that everyone is part of my family way? Are we loving in that irrational concern for the well-being of the people that God puts into our lives? That is spirit love. That is rooted divine love. And that is true fruit of the Spirit. I loved one of the examples that I had read. And it was about a woman who became sick, and she went into the hospital, and they weren't sure what was wrong with her. And finally, they came up with kind of a crazy but serious diagnosis, and they said, well, you've got rabies. You've got rabies, and I don't think we can really help you. It's so far along, so you better put your affairs in order. And she began to write, right in front of the doctor. She began to write and write and write and write. And he was kind of dumbfounded. And he said, my word, you have a lot of things that you need to get done before you meet your maker. And it's just kind of overwhelming. And it's also kind of exciting that you care enough about the people around you to do this. And she said, care. She said, I'm just writing a list of all the people that I want to bite before I leave this earth. It's a choice of whether or not we're going to be people who bite others all the time or people who are going to hug and love others all the time. Agape love. But again, the passage doesn't start there. And then we come to that next confusing word, that joy. And again, usually we say happy. So are you happy? How's your happiness? Are you happy today? And we go around and we throw that word all over the place. And again, understand, happy is happenstance. The ability to find that joy in circumstance. So happiness is going to come and go. Much like Eros love, much like Phileo love, where it's going to ebb and it's going to flow. You're going to love the fact that you're working on a beautiful project and you're happy, and you're going to hit yourself with a hammer and you're going to be sad. It's circumstantial. And yet what the Apostle Paul talks about here is joy. Joy. One commentator reflected on the fact that when he went to the Middle East, he realized that Sabbath is so much bigger in the Middle East than we understand here. And I mean that not just Christian Sabbath, but the idea that he discovered that Arabs have their Sabbath on Friday, and Jews have their Sabbath on Saturday, and Christians have their Sabbath on Sunday. And so the weekend can be a very serious, somber place when it comes to the Sabbath. You can find places that are opened and closed, and again, people are very diligent about it. And in many ways, when you look at Sabbath today, many religions want to make it somber. Many of us were raised in that tradition where, for whatever reason, it seemed more godly to go to church, go to Sunday school, eat a huge dinner, take a two-hour nap, come back to church in the evening, go to youth group, have some kind of dessert, and then go to bed. And that was a Sabbath day. I still don't completely understand that. But where's the joy? And again, what's neat about this is look at the rootedness of the word. And I don't mean to bore you with this, but I think it's important that when you look at four words in the Hebrew language, you begin to understand that joy is something different than happiness. There's the first word, which is shemach, which means bright and shining. Okay? This is a word used for joy in the Hebrew language. And along with joy, it means bright and shining. But it doesn't stop there. They had another word, masas. And that word meant leaping and jumping. And it meant joy. Or renah, which meant shouting and exuberant. All these words meaning joy, bright and shining, leaping and jumping, shouting and exuberant, it sounds like joy. And then there was one other one that's a little different, and it's simply ga'al. Ga'al, which means moving in a circle. Moving in a circle. One commentator said it, and I couldn't have said it any better. He said, when I heard this, I read this, he said, I thought of my dog. Think about it. What do dogs so often do when they're happy? They run in circles. They run in circles. Some of them run in little circles right in front of us. Some run around the living room, the dining room. Some run around the houses. But they love, they are so full of joy, they are running in circles. And I wonder about us. When it comes to this whole idea of joy and joy dwelling in us, are we people who are bright and shining, leaping and jumping, shouting and exuberant, running in circles saying, God is good? Or are we somber? Are we overly serious? Are we critical? Are we judgmental? Is our joy coefficient one in which we only sing about it, but we really don't embody it the way these words do? When it comes to joy, it's an action. It's a dance. It's a light. It's a song. It impacts our world in all situations. Not just the happy ones, but in the challenging ones as well. We can come together and run in that circle and lift people up until they can experience the love of God and the joy of the dwelling of the Holy Spirit within them. Joy is not a noun, it's a verb. If you're an English person, don't quote me on that, all right? It is something that comes from within. The rootedness. What does it say? It says in Scripture that God rejoices in us. That when God looks at His creation, He created all things and He said, they were good. He celebrates with us and again dances and moves and shouts. And then in the New Testament in Philippians, he calls us rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice, that we are commanded as people of God to live in joy, to run in circles, to wag our tails so that the world sees that God is good. But again, conflict. Because for many of us, we are rooted also in traditions. And we are rooted in seriousness. And we are rooted in good conduct. And we are rooted in all these things that the world says is acceptable religion. Instead of letting the Spirit live within us, and then letting the Spirit define that joy in which we can be bright and shining, where we can be leaping and we can be jumping, where we can be shouting and exuberant, where we can indeed move in a circle and say, God is good, and share that joy with a world that so desperately, desperately needs it. So this morning, I guess I'm just wondering, how is our understanding of this love and this joy? How are we doing it, looking at the real rootedness that God is love, God is joy. The real commandment that we're called to be people of love and joy. That indeed, love is that agape love. And from that joy comes, and that joy is action and movement. How are we doing? How are we doing at being like that silly dog that runs in that circle because they're so happy to be out, so happy to see you, wagging that tail, enjoying the day. It doesn't matter if it's raining or snowing. Yeah, I'm free. We're free because of the grace of God. And if we know that freedom, if we live in that freedom, if we choose a life in the Spirit, then the fruit comes from within, and love and joy can overflow. Amen.